Our scripture lesson today is Matthew 14, 22 to 33. It follows immediately after our scripture lesson from last week, which was the feeding of the 5,000. So verse 22. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was alone there. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Did you see in the news this week that Noah, National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Association, NOAA, forecasts this to be, quote, an extremely active, unquote, hurricane season in the Atlantic Basin, with 19 to 25 named storms, 7 to 11 hurricanes, and 3 to 6 major hurricanes. Besides the imperative in this announcement for us all to make preparations now for these storms, after all, Laurinburg is only 100 miles from the coast, the specter of 3 to 6 major hurricanes coming this way in the next 10 or 12 weeks may scare the life out of some of you, and that would be understandable. But not for me. I have a strange personality flaw. I don't know, maybe flaw is too strong. I have a strange personality quirk. I love violent weather. An announcement like this is absolutely exciting to me. Oh boy, hurricanes, 3 to 6 major storms, what could be better? I love the drama and dread of an oncoming, hard-charging hurricane. I really do. And there's probably a psychological designation for what I have in the DSM somewhere, number 421, violent weather disorder or something. But I do. I love amazing, terrible, violent weather, summer or winter, blizzard or hurricane, big wind, hard rain, blinding snow, you name it, I love it. The wilder, the better. I should have been a tornado chaser out in Oklahoma. Must have missed my calling in that one. But nothing suits me better than seeing a big, dark wall cloud coming right at me. I'm not crazy about lightning, but wind and rain and hail really get me going. So I'm almost never fearful of a storm. Almost never. But there was one time when I actually did become afraid during a storm. And that was 2 years ago when Hurricane Florence barreled into North Carolina. I'm sure most of you local folks will remember. It came straight in from the Atlantic Ocean at Wilmington, rather than spinning up the coast from Florida the way this last one, Isaias, did. And when Hurricane Florence arrived here in Laurinburg on September 14th of 2018, she decided to stay for a while. She stopped moving. I think her forward motion was something slower than you and I could do on our morning walks, like 1 mile per hour or something. Basically, Florence stalled right over us for more than a day and kept spinning and dropping water. 2 feet, actually 24 inches of rain fell here in a 24-hour period. And there was a moment while I was safely inside my home looking at my backyard that two things happened which had never happened before. A river of water began to sweep into my backyard around the corner of the house from my driveway, making the brick steps leading down to our swimming pool look like a mountain creek or waterfall. It was a flash flood of water coming from our neighborhood that had right then filled up to capacity. Simultaneous with that, over to the right side of our backyard, in front of our dining room windows, water began filling up in the low side of our yard, creating a muddy reservoir so that by the end of the day, we had lakefront dining. I know many of you remember those days. South Main Street became a lake that was knee-deep and moving. And that day, for the first time in a storm, I became really scared. I realized that I didn't know what to expect. I couldn't guess what was about to happen. How long would it keep raining? If my backyard, which was not in a flood zone, was filling up with water, then what else was possible from this storm? Nobody on the Weather Channel had said anything about this. Nobody saw it coming. Nobody had predicted that Florence would get to Laurinburg and decide to stop. And if nobody foresaw this, then what else didn't they know? Anything could happen now. All bets were off. Maybe this was all Florence had for us. But maybe, as they say, we ain't seen nothing yet. And that was really terrifying. And I think that feeling of fear is possibly a good place for us to begin today. Looking at the storm the disciples were in, and the very easy metaphor it is for the storms in our lives, storms that hit us with unexpected trouble and unknowable outcomes, we realize a relationship has suddenly splintered. We get an unexpected and devastating medical diagnosis that puts our entire future in doubt. I mean, this whole COVID pandemic is a storm, really. We've adjusted to it in some ways, but we don't know what's going to happen next. Will returning to school work out? Will college football really happen? Will it get so much worse that we all have to be quarantined again? Will I get the virus, or will somebody I care about? Will we run out of money? Will we sink into depression? We don't know. And that, I think, more than anything else, is what's scary. We don't know what's next. Like watching my backyard fill up with water, I felt afraid, pure fear, because I didn't know what else was coming. How much more rain would fall? All bets were off. Anything can happen now. We are out of control, and we don't know what will happen next. And that is what the disciples were feeling in the boat as the storm raged around them. Is this as bad as it gets? Is this it? Or are we at the beginning and we ain't seen nothing yet? Even though the title of the sermon is From Fear to Faith, I think it's important to note at the beginning that fear is not the opposite of faith. It's similar to what Bronze Star recipients in the military say about fear and courage, that they're not opposites either. Over and over, when you hear of soldiers' amazing acts of courage, running through machine gun fire to save a wounded comrade, when asked, "Weren't you afraid?" they always seem to say something like, "Well, yes, I was afraid. You'd be crazy not to be afraid in that situation. But you have to not let the fear control you. You acknowledge it, then you do what you need to do anyway, in spite of it." So at the outset, I think we need to say something similar about faith and fear. They are not opposites. You can still be afraid, but not let it control you. You can acknowledge your fear, but do what you need to do anyway, just like when a soldier decides to be courageous. Our story today tells us a lot about how to have faith in the middle of a terrifying storm and how not to. And if you happen to be in a life storm right now, I think it will help you through it. So let's look at the passage. This storm story happens immediately after our scripture lesson from last week. After feeding the 5,000, Jesus sends the disciples ahead of him on the boat, crossing the Sea of Galilee. He dismisses the crowd and goes up to an isolated place to pray. His disciples leave at near dark and are rowing against a contrary wind and make slow progress across the sea. And then this enormous, violent storm catches them, churning up huge waves in the water. And it's easy to relate to the fear that the disciples were feeling as the waves washed over the boat and they were buffeted by the howling winds. And early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus comes walking to them on the water. Of course, they had never seen anything like it before and probably only glimpsed him in his robes from flashes of lightning. But they were understandably terrified at that, just as they were by the storm they were enduring. Now, I don't want us to get hung up in a debate about whether Jesus actually walked on water or not, or whether Peter did when he tried to come to him. My position is that Jesus was God. God made the world and all the molecules in it, and if he wanted to make the water molecules hard enough for Jesus to walk on as he stepped over the sea, then he could. There are plenty of lakes we can walk on in the winter, not around here, but up north, from the very normal arrangement of water molecules that are below 32 degrees Fahrenheit. It gives me no problem at all to think that God, who created the entire world out of nothing and structured every molecule of every element and compound, could change the structure of H2O to support Jesus' body weight when he needed to catch up to his friends who were in trouble on the sea. If you don't believe that, then you're fine. You're welcome in my church as always. But what I do want to get to is this interchange between Peter and Jesus, because I think it has three important principles for us when we are going through our storms. The disciples were scared already from the storm and the waves splashing in the boat, and then they see this apparition coming towards them in the flashes of lightning. It is white garments, so they think it's a ghost. And then Jesus speaks up and says, "Take heart, it is I, don't be afraid." Now, if I were in that boat, in that situation, afraid like that, I probably would have been so relieved, I would have shouted back something at Jesus like, "Lord, what are you doing? Where have you been? Can't you see we're about to get swamped? Come here, get in the boat." But Peter, who was usually the spokesperson for the group, says something completely different than I would have said. In the middle of that terrifying storm, he asks Jesus if he, Peter, can come to him. Not, "Jesus, you come here and get in our boat." Look at it. Peter says, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." In the middle of a life-threatening event, Peter's instinct is to move towards Jesus, to get closer to Jesus, not to order Jesus into his boat, but to get out of the boat and head towards him. No one else, none of the other disciples did this. Peter was able, in the midst of fear, to act on his faith. He believed that moving toward Jesus was a perfect thing to do in a raging storm. And that is step one. In your life storm, move towards Jesus. Can you relate to that? In the midst of your fear, can you activate your faith? Can you imitate Peter's faith by asking Jesus not if he will come closer to you, but help you get closer to him? That is how you get out of the boat that's being tossed and thrown about on the sea. You head towards Jesus. Even when you're afraid, you pray, you read scripture, you listen to preaching and Bible study, you worship and take the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Don't let the storm paralyze you. Make a conscious effort to move toward Jesus. So that is step one. When you're in your life storm, move towards Jesus. Try to get close to him. It may be counterintuitive sometimes, but try it, like Peter did. Okay, so step two is this. Don't focus on the storm. Don't keep looking at all your trouble, all that is wrong with your situation, and thinking about it. It's going to be there. And it's easy to obsess about it. But move beyond that. Instead, focus on Jesus. Step two is what Peter did not do well in the storm. He activates his faith over his fear and tries to move closer to Jesus. But then he begins to focus on the storm instead of the Lord. Verse 29, Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." At first, he was walking by faith, defeating the storm. And then the sheer power of the wind got his attention, and he took his eyes off Jesus and began to seek. I think that is probably descriptive for every Christian's walk through tribulation and trouble. We are not going to get it right 100% of the time. We're not going to get all gold stars. There are going to be times when we take our eyes off Jesus and begin to sink. And I like what Peter did then. He didn't just sink in self-recrimination and self-pity and just go straight to the bottom of the sea. What did he do as he sank? He fought it. Even when he didn't feel full of faith, he cried out to the Lord, "Lord, save me." Even while sinking, even when his faith deserted him, he still clung to Jesus as his Savior. You can do a lot worse than saying, "Lord, save me," when your fear overwhelms your faith. So when you have a spell like that, when you don't feel at your most faithful, by that I mean faith, full of faith, when you feel afraid again, just like every other poor soul that is facing adversity, even then, call out to Jesus. Say what Peter said, "Lord, save me." And what does Jesus do? Jesus immediately reaches out his hand and catches him. He didn't punish him or ignore him or let the storm have its way. He answers Peter's cry and pulls him up. But the reason Jesus had to save him is because Peter changed his focus from Jesus to the circumstance that he was in. As long as he focused on Jesus, he was fine. He only started sinking when he began to think more about the wind than about who he was moving towards. Verse 30, but when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And that is what caused him to sink. It's interesting that he only became afraid when he noticed the wind. When he looked at his circumstances and thought, "This is impossible, I could die, what am I doing?" So don't focus on what's going wrong in your life, on the risk, on what is distressing or impossible. Those things are there. You know they are. Focus instead on the Lord that you're trying to move closer to. And that will keep you from sinking. So step one in your life storm is move towards Jesus. Step two is don't focus on the storm. And that leads us to step three. Let your storm lead you into worship. Let your storm lead you into worship. Verse 32, when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." It may seem kind of wacky or counterintuitive, but it's true. Storms can deepen our faith. What you're going through right now can intensify your relationship with God. Instead of leading to despair and unbelief, storms can lead us into a deeper worship of God. There are going to be times, no matter what your life storm is, when you see God's hand at work. It may be an actual healing of a relationship, or of your body, or of your emotions. It may be the peace that passes all understanding in the midst of a turbulent time. But you will sense God's presence in your storm. You will feel those winds begin to cease. And in those occasions, worship God. Give credit where credit is due. Praise God for that victory, whatever it is. You think of the disciples in the boat, crazy afraid of going down with the ship, watching Peter actually get out and try to walk on the water to Jesus, and then see him sink and Jesus catch him. And then Jesus steps with Peter in hand into the boat, and the winds cease, and the disciples are overcome with awe and immediately begin to worship Jesus. So, step three, let your storm lead you into worship. Obviously, There are a lot of different actions that a terrifying, violent storm could lead you to other than worshiping God. You could let it lead you in the opposite direction, towards despair or to doubting that God even exists. Worship is a choice. You can decide to praise God or not, thank God or not, even when you are afraid or in pain or in distress. What this scripture is saying is, don't let it lead you the other way. Let your storm, your adversity, your turbulence lead you to worship. Just so you know, I don't look forward to life storms the way I look forward to weather storms. Life storms are going to happen in my life and in yours, for sure. Generally, they're unavoidable in the long run. And they are not fun and exciting. They're mostly difficult and painful. But if you happen to not be going through one right now, well, that's fantastic. But life being what it is, you probably will go through one eventually. All God's children have trouble someday or other. But you have a choice about how you deal with your storm. You can let the storm destroy your faith, or you can let the storm deepen your faith. You can focus on the fear, or you can focus on your Savior. No, we don't know what will happen next. Only God is omniscient. We aren't. We don't know if this is as bad as it gets or if we ain't seen nothing yet. But we do know Jesus. We do know how he loves us. We do know that he is with us in this storm. Emmanuel, God with us. And he does know what will happen next. Our guy, King Jesus. We can move towards him or not. We can focus on him or the storm. We can choose to worship him or fall into despair. That night in the boat, the disciples moved from fear to faith, from screaming at the sight of Jesus, "It's a ghost," to worshiping him as the Son of God. And you can do that too. Right now, today, in the middle of your storm, and the fear you're feeling, here comes Jesus, and he's saying, "Take heart, it is I, don't be afraid." Remember the song, Lord of the Dance? That last verse goes like this. "They cut me down, and I leapt up high. I am the life that will never, never die. I'll live in you if you live in me. I am the Lord of the dance," said he. "Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance," said he. "And I'll lead you all wherever you may be. And I'll lead you all in the dance," said he. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we believe. Help thou our unbelief. When we're struggling, Lord, let us focus on you. When we're fearful, Lord, give us the strength to believe. Give us the strength to choose our faith over our fears. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.